You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello everyone out there and welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Each and every week we're coming at you to talk about the Montreal Canadiens, keep you informed, engaged, entertained, while we break down all the latest about the Habs. And boy, it just gets more and more exciting each and every week right now. Hold on, because we've got a big one for you today. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for the show today for episode 401 of the Canadiens Connection Podcast. This week's show titled, Dare to Dream. Can the Montreal Canadiens deliver an upset? What's that? Yes, we're allowing you to dare to dream, because a lot of you are doing it already, right, Rick? Let me introduce my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. It's not like a question mark behind dare to dream. Nobody's daring. Everybody's just doing. Everybody's dreaming.
And everybody's asking that question.
Am I dreaming?
can the Montreal Canadiens deliver another upset in these 2026 playoffs, this time over the champions of the Eastern Conference regular season? The Montreal Canadiens now getting some a bit more national exposure, and you get I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal has taken an interest.
All right.
The title of the article is "The Pee Wee Hockey Coach Who Could End Canada's Stanley Cup Drought." Marty St. Louis was a retiree, overseeing 12-year-olds. Now he's in the Eastern Conference Finals. So the media's on the hype train. The Montreal Canadiens fans definitely on the hype train. We're gonna join it all with Daring to Dream today a little bit too. First, before we get there, I just want to say happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Thank you.
And to all of Canadiens fans who, U.S. Canadiens fans, and for those who traveled down to Raleigh for game two. I know there's quite a contingent of Canadiens fans down there, and a busy weekend in Montreal,
Canadian Grand Prix this weekend. I'm thinking that the city logistically is probably thankful that at least for most of this weekend, the Canadiens aren't playing home games, because logistically that might have been a bit of a crowded downtown.
The Montreal Canadiens said, contrary to some media reports, they won't be having an outdoor watch party in front of the Bell Center for game two. But, you know, the crowds will be there on Monday night when game three, when the series comes back to Montreal. The Grand Prix, there's always usually it's Canadiens players who are showing up at the Grand Prix. Kind of role reversal. You saw Fernando Alonso sporting a Canadiens jersey. Mm-hmm. Valtteri Bottas was saying, listen, if I wasn't, he was saying that he's following the series, the playoffs. Yeah. And if he wasn't an F1 racer, then he sees himself as maybe a Montreal Canadiens player.
Well, he said his home team is the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's right.
Until he was 15, he played for their junior league. So he could be in. Valtteri Bottas could be. What number would Valtteri Bottas wear? So let's tell you what to expect today. We are going to, in our first segment, of course, go through our week in review. We're going to briefly recap the three games that the Canadiens have played since our last episode. Rick has re-racked his three stars of the week. He's got, who do you think is his taking his top-notch first star? Let's see if you can guess. We're going to go through that. We'll get you caught up on any roster news. There is still news in the Habs prospect report because the Memorial Cup has now started, and there are some Habs prospects who are participating in this year's Memorial Cup, so we'll get you caught up on all of that, as well as, can you believe it's mock draft season, the beginning of mock draft season? We've got some news for you there in regards to the Montreal Canadiens. As well as Habs prospects playing in the IIHF World Championship. So lots to catch you up on in terms of Habs players who aren't currently playing in the NHL in the NHL playoffs. Then in our second segment, our big topic this week, the Montreal Canadiens face their biggest test yet. We want to have a little bit of fun this week because it's fun watching the Habs right now, and they are taking Habs fans on an absolute ride. So we want to get on board with that ride. We want to have fun with it. We want to feel the rush, the excitement, the adrenaline, the hope that is swelling within the Montreal fan base, but also kind of take an analytical eye to it as well and look at, could this really happen? Because people are starting to really ask themselves, wait a minute here. They're more than halfway there now. Could this really happen? So we're gonna take a look at, let's figure out what they've done that's been right, what they need to continue to do to make this new sprung dream come true.
Well, in short, how do you take this hype train and turn it into a reality express?
Wow.
Do you like that?
Did you work on that all morning?
No, I just thought of it.
Okay.
Mm. So it needs some work? Is that what you're impressed. Saying?
No, no. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then finally, of course, in our third segment, we're going to let you have your say. We always have a Canadiens Connection question of the week that we're going to ask all of you. It's where we ask you a question related to this week's main big topic. And we encourage you, we'll let you know at that time how you can send your answers in. And then once you send your answers in, we review them all throughout the week. We select the best ones and then we read them on next week's show. And we have some really, really, really fun responses to last week's question of the week that we can't wait to bring you today. So without further ado, I say we should probably get started with the recap. Where did we leave off last week? Well, on last week's show, we were getting set for game six, home game in Montreal at the Bell Center. This was an elimination game for Buffalo. Montreal, the last week's show was talking about, have the Canadiens learned what it takes to close out a series, to finish a series? Do they have that killer instinct to do that? And Saturday night was the opportunity to put Buffalo away and end the series in six games. Unfortunately, Buffalo came ready to play. Even though early on, you know, Buffalo might have scored first, but Montreal came back with a vengeance and they were up. They were leading. And then Buffalo just took over. Buffalo keeping their season alive for one more game, winning 8-3 on the road at in the Bell Center. To say that people were stunned, that was a surprising and disappointing game on the Montreal side of the ice.
Okay, we're so past Buffalo.
I know.
And we should have a clock here.
We should.
We're not going to spend any time talking about the Sabres. We're done with them. They don't deserve any more of our time, except in the context of last week's podcast, as you said,
right.
Learning to close. And we provided here's the blueprint, Montreal Canadiens. This is what you have to do to close a series. To display your killer instinct, and they didn't read it.
They didn't do it.
They didn't take any of that. As you said, another case where they gave up an early goal, 32 seconds, Rasmus Dahlin. Then the Canadiens scored three goals on four shots against Alex Lyon. Xhaka, an even strength goal. Demidov, a power play goal. Evans, a shorty. And UPL came in to replace Lyon. Then they gave up a power play goal to Buffalo with a 3-2 lead after the first period, but then, the house collapsed and that was it.
It just couldn't hack it. So that forced a game 7 in Buffalo Monday night. And we all know, again, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this. We all know Montreal wins the series, right? They won it in overtime, 3-2 against Buffalo. My concern after this game, so they didn't look good at all in game 6, except for that first period where they managed to score those three goals after getting scored on in the opening minute. But after that, second period, third period, Canadiens didn't look great. And honestly, game 7, they still didn't look great. Despite the fact that they won, it was kind of what was it that we were talking about, Rick? You, a bunch of people in the Rocket Sports Slack, we like the end result, don't like how they got there.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. And to the point where, you know, and not only in that Rocket Sports group, but on other shows, other conversations, mm-hmm. there was did the Canadiens deserve it? Mm-hmm. That was kind of after game 7, Canadiens winning in overtime. It was Alex Newhook with the overtime again. Winner again. kind of an innocent shot, but Jake Evans made it. He was driving to the net, a moving screen. In fact, Newhook said he thought that at one point Evans had tipped the puck. He was waiting to see if Evans would celebrate first. But this was, again, like the last game 7 against Tampa, this was the Jakub Dobiš show.
Yep.
Jakub Dobiš delivered the Canadiens from the first round to the second round and from the second round to the Eastern Conference Final. 37 saves in this one, 168 goals against, 949 save percentage. Jakub Dobiš, well, he is the one to thank, that Canadiens fans mm-hmm. can thank for them getting to the Eastern Conference Final.
Definitely. So Buffalo is in the rear view. Now it's the Eastern Conference Final. The big debate heading into game 1 was rest or rust. What's Carolina going to bring? Because Carolina had 12 full days off since they had swept the Flyers almost 2 weeks ago. Now, granted, when they started the series against the Flyers, they had had about 6 or 7 days off. And they came out flying and they were fine and they did what Carolina does. So the question was going to be, you know, what's going to happen with Carolina? And we know that after the Tampa series, Montreal's game 1 was kind of a disaster. So mm-hmm. what are the Canadiens going to do? And 34 seconds into the game, I think all of us probably went, oh, here we go. I know I did. When Seth Jarvis scored 33 seconds after the opening faceoff. And then what happened after that, I don't think anybody could have predicted it.
Yeah, that was, and it all started with the top line. It all started with Cole Caulfield. The top line didn't start this game. As they had been victimized for a lot of early goals in the other two series. They didn't start the game, but it was after the Seth Jarvis goal, and what a player he is. It was Cole Caufield 27 seconds later with a 5-on-5 goal. This is
hallelujah.
This was huge. This is a crucial goal for many reasons. One, to establish the top line for Cole Caufield to get the 5-on-5 goal. But to respond right away and to turn the tone of the way this, because the place was just absolutely rocking at that point.
Yeah.
And then that allowed the floodgates to open a little bit with some breakaways by the Canadians, odd man rushes. It was Deneau, a 4-on-4 goal, Texier, and then Demidov with a beautiful move
goal
on the breakaway.
Yeah.
And 11 and a half minutes into the first period, and the Canadians had a 4-1 lead.
And everyone was stunned.
Stunned, absolutely
fans, the
stunned.
The bench, everybody.
Rod Brind'Amour was stunned.
But yes, he was.
Now the Canadians have done this in other series, and then their second period seems to be the worst, and it was again in this game.
Yep.
Carolina outshot Montreal 12-3. Shot attempts were ridiculous, and it was Dobish. He was unbelievable again, and he was going against, you know, if Dobish was the number two ranked goaltender in the playoffs, he was going against Frederik Andersen, who had been lights out in their first two series, perfect. And again, you know, Dobish against what was perceived as a better goalie and Vasilevsky, and Dobish got the better of Vasilevsky, and certainly in the first game, Dobish got the better of Frederik Andersen.
Definitely did. You know, it's then the third period came around. Hurricanes pressured. They had a ton of shot attempts, but actually only two actual registered shots on goal.
Yeah, they seemed to be in the end, the Canadians' end, a fair bit, but kept to the perimeter. And usually it has been Dobish having to perform some heroics in the third period as well. In this case, he wasn't tested. The Canadians, they played well in the first period, obviously, but especially in the third period.
And that was, you know, the crucial part. This was another thing that we talked about in our team Slack as well. Once Robinson scored and put Carolina within two goals, it was then 4-2 at that point. I think it was you that had said
next goal wins.
Next, whoever scores, whichever side scores the next goal is going to be the one that wins the game. Because if Carolina had made it 4-3, it would have been a completely different tone. But that didn't happen, and the Canadians just poured it on and scored the next one and the next one and next one. They won 6-2.
So Dobish with 26 saves. He was fabulous. 929 save percentage. The top line was the big story in this one. Slavkovsky had two goals. One was an empty netter. An empty netter that he had to work for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Caufield with that crucial goal, also had an assist, and Suzuki with three assists. I thought Gouley continued to be outstanding. Lane Hutson was, he usually avoids the big hits, and he was hit hard. He was obviously a target, but hit harder than he had been in the first two series. So I think that's certain. And why wouldn't he be a target for Carolina? It wasn't expected to be necessarily a physical series, but certainly Lane was on the receiving end of some big hits.
He definitely was. And boy, does that just set up what should be an electrifying game too on Saturday night. So was it easy to put together your three stars of the week? I don't think it had, it couldn't have been difficult for you to pick your number one star.
Jakub Dobysz is getting a lot of credit, getting a lot of notice. People are discovering Jakub Dobysz. But because he's kind of an unassuming, self-described goofy guy,
goofy goalie,
I don't think people are understanding where to place him in the context of history. This is elite goaltending, mm-hmm. And he's been terrific since the move to Marco Marciano as the goaltending coach, and even before that, you know, December he was good, but always under threat that his job was going to be pulled. Make one mistake and your job's going to be pulled. Mm-hmm. Since he's had the confidence, he's been fabulous. Some folks talking about, oh, well, I remember Halak was... Now, this is not a Halak situation. Tiny goaltender who was tossing himself around and had no rebound control, so his shots were getting run up. This is more like a young Patrick Waugh, but with the confidence, the swagger, and the feistiness of a mature Patrick Waugh, mm-hmm. Because he's getting right into it. And I'm not saying Patrick Waugh had a Hall of Fame career. I'm just saying. The kind of things that he's doing, the way he's carrying the Canadians on his back, are more similar to some of the Canadians' greats.
Who did you select for your second star of the week?
I keep being really impressed with Jake Evans. Really impressed. And what he's doing for that second line. A goal, two assists, 3 points in his last three games for the last week. He's also a team-leading plus three, playing 18 and a half minutes a game. And he has been, this last week, he was the Canadiens' best face-off guy at 52%. And Deneau's relied on, but still, Jake Evans, most weeks, is beating him in terms of face-off percentage.
I can't recall for sure. I'm 99% sure that it was Bissonnette who had tweeted something this week that I saw fly by on my timeline, basically saying not enough people are talking about Jake Evans and what an absolute bargain Montreal is paying him for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's going to continue to be that way once Phil Danault moves on, mm-hmm. he's going to have that. Of course, he's not going to remain as a second-line center. He's going to get bumped down, but he'll be even more effective when that happens.
To round it out, your third star of the week. Boy, talk about a playoff renaissance, man.
Alex Newhook with a goal, a very important goal, and this is 2 points. Yeah, it was... game winner, the overtime game winner, and he's done it twice now in game sevens. He was obviously huge for the Montreal Canadiens.
Who gets your honorable mentions this week?
Caden Gooley is another guy that I just keep mentioning because I'm just admiring what he's doing defensively. And the way he's laying out blocking shots, being the most physical Canadiens defenseman. He's also surprisingly leading some rushes. He had an excellent pinch on Texier's goal. He's been terrific.
Absolutely. And the top line.
The top line, yeah. Nice to see the resurgence of the top line. And placing them here in the honorable mention category to make sure that they keep going.
Definitely. So the Canadiens lead the Eastern Conference final 1-0, get that crucial first win on the road. Can they take two? We'll see on Saturday night. We're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the show. In terms of the roster, really nothing's changed there. So I...
Yeah, I guess the change is there. Kapanen came in.
Well, that's true.
And he's played two games now. Got more time on ice in game one of this series. Played over 9 minutes, and has been very good. Faceoffs, he's good on. He's had some offensive chances. He's broken up plays in the defensive zone. I thought he's been very, very good, as of course he was during the regular season and then kind of got shuffled aside. But for someone who's sat watching for a while and come back, I think he's been great. And on the defensive side, the defense pairings, it's Struble in game one coming in to replace Arber Jacki. And it's not just one replacing the other. When that happens, all of the defense pairings got shuffled. We'll talk more about that a little bit later.
All right. For now, let's dip into the Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Well, it is Memorial Cup season, Kelowna hosting this year. Who is represented? Well, for the WHL, it's the Everett Silvertips, who actually eliminated the host team of Kelowna during the WHL playoffs way back in the middle of April in the second round. But it's all right because Kelowna's hosting, so they automatically get to participate in the Memorial Cup. For the Q, it's the Chicoutimi Saguenay, who are playing for, representing the QMJHL. And in the OHL, it's the Kitchener Rangers.
And then, of course, the host, Kelowna Rockets.
And the host, Kelowna Rockets. So those are your four teams participating in the Memorial Cup. But there are a couple of Habs prospects who are participating as well.
That's right. We've talked about Andrew McNeil, a defenseman for Kitchener, steady defenseman, physical defenseman, 6'2", was picked in the sixth round, 189 overall in the 2025 NHL draft. 10 playoff games. He scored two goals in the same game for 2 points, and he has a +2 rating. That's for Kitchener. For the host, Kelowna, it's Hayden Papanakis. We remember he's the anomaly. The Canadians finally have a large center, 6'5", right shot center, chosen also in the 2025 draft, but in the third round by the Montreal Canadiens. 9 playoff games. He had scored 2 goals, added 3 assists for 5 points, and +2. As we record, only one game has been played in the tournament, and that's Kitchener downing the host, Kelowna Rockets, 5-0 on Friday night. Andrew McNeil for Kitchener was a +1, 4 penalty minutes, and Hayden Papanakis, I said he was the center. He obviously didn't get any points with Kelowna being shut out, but he won 10 of his 15 faceoffs in that game.
Wonderful. Also want to mention that The Athletic, it's way early for this, but The Athletic has their first NHL mock draft for this this draft in 2026, predicting all 63 picks of the first two rounds.
Yeah, it is early. We don't even know exactly yet where the Montreal Canadiens will be picking. In this mock draft, the Athletic have the Canadiens in the first round making the 25th selection. It's probably going to be a little bit lower than that. And they have the Canadiens taking Ryder Cali, a center from North Bay. Their write-up, this is Scott Wheeler writing this, says, "The Habs add size, strength, and a north-south pro-style player in Cali, a driven and brawny forward who gives their pool something different and something it needs." Yeah, Cali is 6'2", 210, And as we said, 17 years old, he's played for North Bay. Of note, he's committed for the 2027-28 season to Harvard in the NCAA.
Okay. They also have the Canadians picking at 58. Corey Pronman with an interesting comment on who they have there, and a last name that many hockey fans would be familiar with.
Adam Nemec, and that brother of Simone Nemec, and he's a winger, not a defenseman, he's a winger from Sudbury, playing for the Sudbury Wolves. We're going to have to ask, maybe Mike's pretty happy about this, we're going to have to ask him about Adam. And the write-up from Corey Pronman is, Montreal selects the highly versatile Nemec, who projects as a two-way bottom six winger in the NHL and has performed well at various levels over the last 2 years. So I think it's important for us just to start getting some players' names in your heads, maybe spark your interest to look at other mocks, to look up some of these players that we mention, because yes, the Montreal Canadiens are still playing hockey, but the NHL draft, the 2026 draft, is going to come up very quickly once they're done.
Definitely. Also, the Laval Rocket may already be on their summer break, but two of the Habs prospects who play for the Rocket are still playing hockey over in Switzerland for the World Championship. Vincent Rohrer playing with Team Austria, and Philip Meschar playing with Team Slovakia.
Mm-hmm. It was Meschar that was, Slovakia was in action as we were preparing to record. They were 4-0. I believe they lost to Czechia today in a rivalry kind of match. Going into that game, Meschar had 3 points and was a plus one in the series. Rohr also had 3 points and was a plus three so far in the series. We'll check back in with them as that tournament progresses.
Wonderful. One last just general NHL note before we take our first break and get to our big topic here so that we can start talking about all the things the Canadians could do in the next couple of weeks, is the Western Conference Final. Vegas leads Colorado 2-0. I repeat, Vegas leads Colorado 2-0. You know what's significant about that? Colorado has the home ice advantage. That means Vegas
not anymore.
Not anymore. They don't. Vegas won both games on the road to start the series, and now the series switches to their home ice in Las Vegas. Wow.
John Tortorella.
And no Cale Makar.
Hmm.
Whew. That's going to get interesting. It's going to get interesting.
An underdog beating a clear favorite. That might be something that continues in the next segment.
It could be. So let's get to that sooner rather than later. We've got a brand new incentive from our sponsors over at DraftKings as we take a short break here. On the other side of that, you want to stick around because we are going to talk about how the Canadians are facing their biggest test yet, but we're getting excited for it. This is all positivity all the way. Let's jump on board. Let's get excited and figure out how the Habs can bring the Stanley Cup home to Montreal. Stick around for it. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a new customer offer. When the ice gets coldest, the best players in the world show you exactly who they are. Playoff warriors turn it up round by round. I mean, we've seen that with the Canadians, right? And DraftKings turns it up with them from the first round all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Bet player props. Bet live. From the opening faceoff to the final horn, every moment matters. New DraftKings customers, you bet just $5 and you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN so you're ready for the moment. That's code THPN. Turn $5 into $100 in bonus bets instantly. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved. And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name's Amy Johnson. I'm here, of course, with my co-host Rick Stevens, who is our president here at Rocket Sports. If you would like to follow us on X, if X is a place that you hang out, you're going to want to follow Rick over at Rocket Sports. That's our main account for Rocket Sports Media. And gives you all of our updates, links to all of our content, whether it's podcast, video, written, you name it. Also, and fun stuff, like anything related to the Habs, you can find it there. You can also follow this podcast on X, on Facebook and Instagram. It's all the same handle. It's at Habs Connection. And also, don't forget, if you haven't done so already, be sure you subscribed to the podcast. Just tap that subscribe button on your podcast player, on the YouTube channel, if that's how you're listening right now. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. We're here each and every week all throughout the year. It's exciting right now, but we've got lots coming for you all year long. Off-season, draft, free agency, training camp, prospect challenge, regulars, you name it. So make sure that you have hit that subscribe button. So, all right, let's have some fun in this week's big topic segment, because I mean, come on, let's face it. The Habs are pretty fun to watch right now. They can be a little frustrating at times when they're not performing to the best of their ability, but overall they are pretty darn fun to watch right now. And I think we're getting to the point where Habs fans are starting to ask themselves that elusive question that maybe they didn't expect to be asking themselves this year. Like, could this team actually do something really, really special? And I mean, if you take a step back and just look at what's happened here, Montreal just came through another Game 7 series on the right end of it. They go out on the road against a Carolina team that swept both of its previous playoff series. They've played 8 games and they've won them all. And then they hand the Hurricanes their first loss, 6-2 on the road. I mean, it's incredible. And at a certain point, like, I think after this game one, it started to shift from, oh, this is a really fun little playoff run that they're on, to hold on. Maybe we need to seriously start thinking about what this team could actually be capable of, because they are exceeding expectations at this point. Now, at the same time, those things that we talked about last week haven't gone away, where we outlined the things that the Canadians need to learn to do in order to close out a series. Those things haven't gone away. And in fact, they've actually probably gotten even more important. Because learning how to close out games, handling the ever-intensifying pressure, continuing to stay disciplined, playing with urgency from the opening puck drop, all of those things get more and more and more important the deeper into the playoffs you go, and particularly against a Carolina Hurricanes team that has the reputation for its style of play like they do.
So maybe we're switching, Rick, from could this team do actually do something special? Maybe the more important question to ask is this playoff run starting to really kind of show Montreal's hand in that their oh-so-fabled Stanley Cup quote-unquote window might just already be opening a little wider than people had expected at this point?
And that's one of the big questions, is because during the season, we heard that the Canadians are approaching, it wasn't even really open, but that contending, that window of contention, once they get the core together and they add their pieces and maybe a free agent and bring on Hage and bring on Zorofsky and get Engstrom and Ryan Backer, and that's when their contending window would start to open. So is that cup window cracked? Is it wide open? That's one of the big questions. Is the 30-year-old dream, the drought for the Montreal Canadiens, the drought for Canada winning a Stanley Cup, is it becoming a reality? Is that possible? And you, just before we came to the second segment, you talked about Vegas. So is this all working its way to a double upset? You know, are we witnessing the possibility that two underdog teams are going to be meeting in the Stanley Cup final? Those are the questions that are starting to emerge now that you might not have, well, you certainly wouldn't have considered when the playoffs started.
No.
But, you know, it takes the Canadians doing particular things, and we pointed back to it a couple of times, but our episode 400, which was, you know, a pretty special show for us, making it to Canadians Connection, episode 400 last week, is, as you said, still relevant. All of the things that we discussed. And if you didn't hear it, just jump past the first segment relating to the timely updates, and the second segment is absolutely still relevant, and mm-hmm. and the summary is that the Canadians needed to develop a killer instinct. They need to take control. That's not just at the end of the series. That's throughout the series. We talked about number one, they had to play with urgency from the drop of the puck. They're still learning that. They're obviously still learning that, as we've seen them fall behind early. They need to execute in every respect with championship desire. Marty St. Louis used that championship word. Mm-hmm. Execute all the fine details. Every shift, use that mindset, and then finish strong. And that's not only at the end of the series, but finish games and deliver the knockout punch. We talked about having a ruthless determination to win. So, you know, how are the Canadians going to do that against the best team during the regular season in the East? And how can this huge hype train, how can it turn into, realistically, a reality express?
Well, we actually are going to bring you 9 ways that the Canadians could upset this apple cart, take the Eastern Conference, and advance to the Stanley Cup final, realistically. First and foremost, they have to instill doubt.
Yeah, instill doubt, because this was a Carolina team that you know, they came in 8-0, hadn't lost, and they had no doubt about their structure, their ability, ability to win. And I think the Canadians have already done that to an extent.
By winning game one.
Yeah. By winning game one. Winning game two would further do that. You heard Rod Brind'Amour saying that his team was not prepared for the pace in game one. He said that he didn't recognize his team, didn't know what he was looking at in that first period. And so that bubble was burst, especially being unbeatable at home. They hadn't lost at home since March 29th. Incidentally, that was also against Jakub Dobysh. It was also against the Montreal Canadiens. So now you've got the media spinning these narratives that the Canadiens won three games. Jakub Dobysh won three games during the regular season against the Carolina Hurricanes. They had won one the previous season, and they've won first game of the postseason. That's a five-game winning streak that the Canadiens are now on over Carolina. The Eastern Conference Final has always been described as kryptonite for Carolina. They're 1-17 in their past 18 games in the Eastern Conference Final.
That's not a good stat to have.
Since they won the Cup in 2006, they've made five appearances in the Eastern Conference Final. Their series record is 0-5 and 1-17. And Freddie Anderson, another, what is the media talking about now? What are the questions that they're asking? Not about how unbeatable Freddie Anderson was. It's about the fact that he's 1-10 in Eastern Conference Final games. So Carolina, you know, there's some doubt. And the media is helping with that, asking them questions and writing their stories about Carolina not being so invincible.
Well, and that's, we were talking about it before the show, and you mentioned that's the media now at their pressers, Carolina isn't, you know, the hype around Carolina is no longer that they swept their first two series. Like, that's completely out the window now. And now it's like panic button, panic button, panic button. Not only did they lose game one, they lost game one at home, and they lost it in a big way.
And just to be clear, we're not saying the Canadiens have, by winning game one, instilled fear, or it's just a little bit of doubt. Just a, what wasn't there before is there now as just a tinge of doubt, and that certainly helps turn this into reality.
That they're not invincible. So they need to, yes, instill doubt. They also need to beat the blitz, which we saw Carolina blitz the Ottawa Senators and the Philadelphia Flyers.
Well, I'm using the term, I used it when we talked about the Carolina Hurricanes in the regular season, using a football analogy, a blitz. You send all your defenders after the quarterback, the ball carrier. And if Carolina does it very effectively,
yes, they
overwhelm with pressure in their opponent's defensive zone. And in football, and I explained this to our regular listeners, but we have new listeners now, so I'll explain it again. Borrowing this analogy, borrowing the term from football, it's something that makes it very difficult in football. But if you send everybody, there's some opportunities behind all of those rushing defensive players. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, put up a screen pass, quick slants across the middle. Those kinds of things will work and can expose a blitz. That's why in football, you can't run a blitz every single play.
Right.
So the Canadiens can defeat it, and they did in game one with puck movement and with their foot speed. Move the puck quickly, skate quickly, blind that blitz with puck movement, foot speed. You got to be absolutely precise with your passes. You know, we heard Brind'Amour said the Canadians are blowing the zone, and describing the way that they were defeating his pressure. And the Canadians can be successful again, but they've got to be precise. They've got to have the stamina and the energy to use their speed and puck movement.
Third thing they need to do, they've got to score off the rush.
That's their identity. It was their identity during the regular season, score off the rush. And that has disappeared a lot in the playoffs. And when we think of their identity and scoring off the rush, it's not limited to the first line, but it's primarily the first line. So seeing them score off the rush, and it was, you know, we mentioned the number of odd man rushes that opportunities that Montreal had. Game one, absolutely their best in the playoffs. They seem to be getting back to their identity.
Well, because what we've seen, what's been frustrating when they've had these odd man rushes in the previous two series, they're gaining the zone and then they're either holding up and waiting to pass, or they're just passing back or if someone has kept up with their foot speed with a winger, they're passing and passing, instead of just trying to go for the throat and take the shot. And so, as you say, it was nice to see finally, just get back to get the rush, get in there and shoot the puck.
Fourth
thing they need to do, they've got to lead the way.
Who leads the way? Well, we know who leads the way on this team. It's the top line. It's Slavkovsky. It's Caulfield. And especially Nick Suzuki. That top line had 5 5-on-5 points in 14 games coming into the series. They got 6 cumulatively in game one. And the vast majority of the shot attempts in game one. The Canadians, you know, were able to stumble their way through offensively through the first two series without their top line being effective at 5-on-5. They need to lead the way in this series. Carolina is just too good for any other excuse.
That's right. In terms of speaking of excuses, they have got to execute the details, even the small ones.
Yeah, they had, as Montreal has been doing, too many turnovers, and especially in that second period in game one, again, way too many turnovers. They have to, we talked about it in detail last week, about what they need to do to execute the details every shift, every puck touch. They have to execute the details.
They also need to win the special teams battles. Everybody said, of course you have to win the special. No, you really have to win special teams in this series because Carolina will burn you if you don't.
And it's different against Carolina than the other two teams. And it goes back to their structure and their pressure. They not only pressure you 5-on-5, but they really pressure you when they're killing penalties. And the Canadians have a tendency, especially on their power play, to overhandle the puck. You cannot overhandle the puck versus the Carolina Hurricanes. We saw Mike Matheson in his own zone. He likes to overhandle the puck or skate from the neutral zone back. And no, you got to move the puck out quickly. And well, on the power play, that first unit can't overhandle the puck looking for the absolute best,
perfect
shot, because they're going to get overwhelmed by the pressure.
Definitely. The Habs also have to have elite goaltending, which they have been getting from Jakub Dobish. But more importantly, they have to deliver more elite goaltending than their opposition.
Yeah, He's been doing that. He just has to continue. It has been elite. He won both game sevens. Mm-hmm. Not going to say by himself, but pretty close. And going back to the season, yes, the Canadians won three games, but it was Jakub Dobysh that won three games versus Carolina in the regular season. On the 29th, he was named first star. He had 34 saves, .971 save percentage. On March 24th, Dobysh was also named first star, 41 saves, a .953 save percentage, and the Canadians also played Carolina on New Year's Day. So as I said, Dobysh 3-0 versus Carolina. He's carried the Canadians to wins in the first two series. He's going to need to be there again. He says he's not tired, that he can play another 40. And he's going to have to continue to be a road warrior. He's 7-2 on the road in these playoffs.
What else will the Canadians need to do to make this dream come true? The dream that's becoming more and more tangible as each game goes by. Well, they're going to need to spread the load a little bit better.
Yeah, we need to see better bench management from the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Far too often during these playoffs, the Canadians have gone with five defensemen, and there's been one forward that's been kind of set aside. We've been seeing numbers like less than 2 minutes of ice time in that game one. This must have been a talking point. This must have been something that maybe they didn't realize they were doing, but they sat down and figured it out, because in game one, it was much better bench management. Struble was on the ice for 14 minutes. Kapanen had 9 minutes. And that just helps reduce the ice time of the players that that you really need. Kapanen was really well on faceoffs. And the defense pairings, not only did with Struble in the lineup, did he play more, reducing the stress. They mixed up it was back to the regular season pairings. Matheson was with Dobson. As we said, there's no sugarcoating it. Matheson has really struggled in the playoffs. And he can be with Matheson and Dobson together. Dobson can prop him up. Gouley and Carrier were together. That's a really strong pairing. The only negative to the rearrangement, that puts Hudson with Struble. Hudson is moved to his weak side. He's obviously less effective, kind of opens him up for hits. So, that's the only negative of it. But I think it helps with their bench management.
They also just need to take control. And I would say the best example of this is looking at what's happening in the Western Conference Final.
Yeah. You can't be happy with a split.
In game one and two on the road.
In game one and two, you know, there's a lot of, the Canadians got what they came for kind of thing. No, you can't. As we said last week, they need to manufacture desperation. They failed to do this. You know, we talked about all the opportunities where they were up on the Sabres. 2-1 at home. They could have made it 3-1. In Tampa, they won the first game and could have gone up 2-0 in that series. The game sixes against Tampa and Buffalo, they lost and it went to a seventh game. They need to manufacture the desperation. Mm-hmm. Can't be content with a split leaving Carolina. Marty St. Louis was interviewed on Saturday. He was asked how you do that. And he said, well, we just need to stay hungry. We have to put our best foot forward and see where we land. No, you got to grab the opposition by a throat and take control in the series. Yeah. Imagine if the Canadians could follow the Vegas path of going up 2-0 and then coming back with home ice.
It would be incredible. So, I mean, it's 9 things. That's all they need to do, right? It's a little easier said than done, but...
winning the Stanley Cup's hard. So, yeah.
Winning the Stanley Cup is hard. And remember, last year, again, we talked about this before the show. Last year, it was, you know, they wanted to make the playoffs last year. And they did. They just managed to squeak in last year out in the first round. Okay. This year, if everybody remembers back to training camp, the expectation wasn't actually there. Like, they were hopeful. Everyone was hopeful that they'd make the playoffs, but it wasn't necessarily they need to make the playoffs this year.
Well, it's kind of win, they make the playoffs and win one round. Go one step beyond what they had done the previous year.
Sure. Well, they've blown that out of the water. They're way beyond that. They've exceeded expectations at this point, and now everyone is salivating over the, oh, wait, we thought this feeling was probably at least another year off, maybe even two. But it's here now. And so they are 3 wins away from the Stanley Cup final. They're 7 wins away from hoisting the cup and bringing it back to Montreal. That's doable. It's going to take work. It's going to take some sincere dedication and some real tightening up. But, I mean, they're surprising us at every turn at this point. And after watching game one, I don't think anything's going to surprise me going forward. I'll be fascinated to see. Now, we know Rod Brind'Amour is going to make adjustments.
Oh, yeah.
We know game two, Carolina is going to look different. There's no question about that. The question will be, can Montreal weather the storm? Can they get through that first 10 minutes and make their own adjustments? It's going to be an electrifying game. So our question of the week for you, what is the biggest reason you feel to believe in this Canadiens team right now? To believe that they can do it? What is your biggest reason to believe in this Canadiens team right now? Can't wait to hear the responses to this one, because I think people, it's been so long that I think people, while they want to hope and they want to dream, they've kind of maybe been a little reserved because hopes have been dashed too many times, but now it's getting harder to kind of keep a lid on the simmering pot of water on the stove, you know? So what do you feel is the biggest reason to believe in this Canadiens team right now? How do you send us your answer? Well, there's a few ways you could do it. You could text it to us. The Rocket Sports text line is 585-3-ROCKET. 585-3-ROCKET. You can also leave, if you are listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment on this episode in Spotify. If you are watching on YouTube, you can leave a comment on our YouTube channel on this episode. Or if you want to leave your answer via social media, remember our handle for the podcast is @HabsConnection. You can find that on X, Facebook, or Instagram, @HabsConnection. However you send it, just send in your answers. We really want to hear why you believe in this Canadiens team right now. And can't wait to pick out the best ones to read on next week's show. And as soon as we take our last quick break here on the show, we're going to do just that. We've got some great replies to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. Maybe it's yours. And so you'll want to hear those. Stick around. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a new customer offer. When the ice gets coldest, the best players in the world show you exactly who they are. Playoff warriors turn it up round by round. I mean, we've seen that with the Canadiens, right? And DraftKings turns it up with them from the first round all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Bet player props. Bet live. From the opening faceoff to the final horn, every moment matters. New DraftKings customers, you bet just $5 and you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN so you're ready for the moment. That's code THPN. Turn $5 into $100 in bonus bets instantly. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved. And welcome back to episode 401 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Hey, don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap that subscribe button if you're enjoying this show. We have lots more coming for you each and every week all year long. Also, if you can hit the like button, leave us a review. Always very grateful for when all of our listeners do that. We love to get the feedback and we appreciate the help that it provides in growing our audience as well. Same thing for if you share the episode, just however you're listening or watching, just tap that share button and share the episode. Let's get everybody on this train for the Canadians on this really special playoff run that they're on. Don't forget to get your answers in for this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. What is the biggest reason to believe in this Canadians team right now? Send in your answers. We just mentioned to you a few minutes ago how to do that just before the break. If you missed that for some reason, just rewind a couple of minutes and you'll get all the ways that you can send in your answers to this week's question of the week. Send them in. Because then we're going to do what we're going to do right now. We're going to read them all and we're going to pick the best ones to read on next week's show, just like we're about to do with last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. In episode 400, we asked which player best represents the mentality the Canadians need right now. Remember, last week's show was focused on have the Canadians or can the Canadians learn how to close out a series. And so going along with that, we asked which player on the roster best represents the mentality that the Canadians need right now. In other words, in order to do that, in order to start closing out series efficiently. Over on YouTube, we had a reply from @PMoranFidelt, who starts off by saying, congratulations on 400 episodes. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. He says, hopefully there will be many more. In terms of the which player best represents the mentality the Canadians need right now, @PMoranFidelt says, I would say Newhook 100%. And look what he did during overtime during game 7. What a player.
Both game 7s now.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. I think Newhook definitely has that mentality. He has been a terrific piece of the puzzle in this postseason.
The next one comes from @FrankHuber9912. Frank says, congrats on 400. Don't worry. Whatever happens tonight, you won't be eliminated. I'm still tuning in. So thanks for that, Frank. So he goes on to say, so why is it important to close? Game 4 was a missed opportunity. We mentioned about missed opportunities that the Canadians had and having to manufacture desperation. Let me read that again. So why is it important to close? Frank says, game 4 was a missed opportunity to turn the screws, give... and gave Lindy time to think. He got out the blender, a little alchemy, Et voilà. The golden formula needed to win the series. Whatever they learned in the first Game 7, I fear the next one will teach them that Lady Luck is a fickle mistress. Well, they got through another one.
Yeah.
And he finishes, Frank does, by saying, here's hoping that 401 is a joyous one. Well, I think it is pretty joyous having gotten through to the Eastern Conference final and the Canadians winning winning game one of the Eastern Conference final.
Definitely. And thank you, Frank. Great comment there. We also had a comment from our good friend at Stefan, I'm going to butcher Leonid's last name. Mm-hmm.
Yep. In St. Petersburg.
Stefanchikov, maybe?
He'll tell us.
Leonid, give me your phonetic spelling of your last name so that I know how to say Stefanchikov. Maybe it's Stefanchikov. Maybe I'm getting it right. I can only hope. In any case, we always appreciate hearing from Leonid, and he says, in a constantly changing world, 400 podcast episodes is something that's hard to even imagine, let alone achieve. I barely made it to 300 on my longest running weekly project, but I think I understand how difficult it is to find that emotion week after week. Life, like a hockey game, is inevitably full of ups and downs, and even when you're not in the best position, finding the strength and emotion to release a new episode every week, no matter what, is not easy.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
I'm pausing Leonid's comment here for a minute to say thank you for that. You have no idea how true that is. We are proud to be here each and every week through the ups and downs of the Canadians. But yes, there are some weeks and some months that it's not easy to produce a podcast each and every week for 400 episodes. So thank you for recognizing that. He goes on to say, but believe me, it's all worth it. And your efforts are greatly appreciated by many people. Of course, consistently achieving success is simply impossible without a well-coordinated team. Mm-hmm. Creating such a team is the greatest success for any leader. In my opinion, it was a success. Congratulations, and may this connection never be broken.
Beautifully written.
And I when I saw this pop up on our YouTube channel, very touching. We thank you very much for your loyal listenership and support. And we're so, I think, I won't speak for Rick. I will congratulate Rick on, yes, being the leader that has put a great team together. Leonid, I agree with you there. He's done a great job. There's a lot of people involved with Rocket Sports Media. He's put a terrific team together. And I'm just so pleased to hear you use, you know, this is the Canadians Connection podcast. I love that you finished your comment with, may this connection never be broken. And that's really, we just want to connect Habs fans together. We want to connect to all of you, our listeners and supporters and Habs fans. And if we can succeed in doing that, then we've done our job. It was so. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, thank you.
I will echo Rick's sentiments from the beginning of the show. Happy Memorial Day weekend to any of you who are celebrating this weekend. I'm here in Pennsylvania, and it's unseasonably cold and rainy, and it's going to be all weekend. So, okay, good day for hockey, I guess. And that's exactly what we've got coming up later. Game 2 in Carolina, 7 p.m. Eastern start on Saturday night. Then we go back to the 8 o'clock p.m.s for Game 3 on Monday in Montreal, Game 4 on Wednesday in Montreal. If there is a Game 5 necessary, it will take place next Friday night in Carolina at 8 p.m. So, our next podcast is next Saturday, May 30th. Will we have 3 games to review, or will we need to review 4 games?
Well, we'll be optimistic.
We could be optimistic and say there could be a sweep this time. There could be. We'll see what happens. Going to be an exciting week for hockey. Also, enjoy Formula One in Montreal for the Canadian Grand Prix this weekend. I know I'll be watching. Rick, I'm sure you'll be watching. I know our Fantasy Sports Commissioner Brian, I know he'll be watching. Just great to see the city of Montreal alive with some pretty exciting sporting events this weekend. Go Habs, go. Be sure you're back here again next Saturday, May 30th, for another edition of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.